Democratic presidential candidates Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders will meet again this evening on the debate stage. It's been more than a month since the two last debated, and the campaign has gotten more contentious since that time.
In the run-up to next week's crucial primary election in New York, both candidates have been taking shots at each other. Sanders has publicly questioned Clinton's judgment and credibility. At one point, told a crowd of supporters she's not qualified to be president. Meanwhile, Clinton criticized Sanders for promoting a platform she calls unrealistic. So what should we expect tonight when the two face off?
Matthew Dickinson joins us now. He's a professor of political science at Middlebury College. Matt, thanks a lot for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be on with you.
So tonight, Clinton and Sanders will be meeting in New York just days before the state's primary. How important is New York to both candidates at this point?
It's hard to overstate the significance at this point, particularly to the Sanders campaign. He's running out of real estate. He needs to gather delegates in big bunches if he's going to try to make a plausible case that even if he can't win the nomination outright with pledged delegates, he's at least competitive enough to start swinging some of those superdelegates over to him. And there's just not a lot of opportunity left for him to make that case, so this is really crucial for him. But it's also crucial for Hillary because she's trying to put him away and trying to pivot to this general election, and he's like a bad habit. She just can't get rid of him. And so if she can have a convincing win in her home state with 247 delegates at stake, this will go a long way to finally turning the narrative here towards the general election.
Right. So if Hillary Clinton wins, as at this point she's projected to do, is it essentially the end of the game for Bernie Sanders?
Well, it's not going to be the end of the game for a couple of reasons. One is, on the Democratic side, this is a proportional primary. So let's assume he gets roughly 40% of the vote. He is going to take home a chunk of the delegates. Now, it's not going to be nearly enough to change the narrative, but it will be enough to keep the sense that he has won a degree of support within his own party that justifies going on, that his message is resonating with at least enough voters that he might as well stay out there and continue to try to make his case. So I don't think this is going to be conclusive, even if Hillary wins by the margins projected in the polls.
You've been talking about using the word narrative here, and he does have a bit of a narrative going right now in that he's been saying, look, I have momentum right now. I've won something like the last six of seven. Is that a narrative that is picking up traction, and what happens if he does have a good showing in New York?
Well, it is a narrative that's picking up traction. Most of the major media sources are using that term, and there's a superficial appeal to it. I mean, if the guy wins seven out of the last eight contests, as he has, that seems to be the very definition of momentum. The reality is, if you look at the contest he's won, they are tailor-made for him. Most of them were caucus states. Most of them had, therefore, smaller turnout. Most were largely white and had a significant liberal population. And if you run a simple statistical analysis of predictors of his support, it's running a caucus as opposed to a primary and running in a state that's largely white. He's running out of those states. There's only two more caucus states. New York is has a strong non-white population. So I expect the momentum narrative is not going to go very well in New York because it's a misleading barometer of why he's winning. It's demographics much more than momentum that's explained his recent success, and those demographics are changing dramatically next Tuesday.
And this is going to be an interesting night as a touch point in the campaign, because if you look back at some of those early Democratic debates, the two candidates treated each other, not deferentially, but very gently. They didn't go after each other head on. And I think it's fair to say in the last week or so that the rhetoric between them has sharpened noticeably. Clinton has seemed irritable. Sanders has been more on the attack, and in terms of his rhetoric, more directed toward her now, to the point where some in the Clinton camp have said, oh, this is a character attack. And it's been going back and forth. So do you expect to see a change in tone tonight?
I do. I mean, the road to the nomination is paved with good intentions, but the reality is, in part, they've fleshed out their differences on policy so much, and it just hasn't done enough, particularly from Sanders' perspective, to gain traction. So he has to look elsewhere. And, you know, they've been at it for a long time. Both sides are getting a little irritated with each other, and things slip that maybe they wouldn't have said earlier in the campaign, but they're looking for an edge here. And particularly on Sanders' side, he's got to try something to differentiate himself. And if policy's not going to work, then you turn to character. You try to make an issue of Clinton's judgment, of her temperament, of being in hock to Wall Street, anything that might buy you some additional support among the dwindling number of undecided voters. So I'm really not surprised that, given the stakes and given the dwindling time left for both candidates to make their case, they've become a little edgier in how they're treating each other. And I expect to see a lot more of that tonight.
We're talking right now with Matt Dickinson, professor of political science at Middlebury College. And Matt, some political watchers have also pointed out that the candidates may be sort of leaving breadcrumbs for the media, hoping that they get picked up tonight in the debate. Bernie Sanders, for instance, just released this ad about fracking.
Do Washington politicians side with polluters over families? They sure do, because big oil pumps millions into their campaigns. Bernie Sanders is the only candidate for president who opposes fracking everywhere.
Is an ad like that sort of designed to perk up the moderator? In this case, I guess it's Wolf Blitzer, so that Bernie Sanders gets to sort of define some of the questions that might come up tonight?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, both sides are going to try to game this by planting the seeds, as you point out quite correctly, in the moderator's eyes and mind about certain issues that should be raised. And, of course, you know, from CNN's perspective, the idea here is to put the candidates on edge, try to, you know, not incidentally boost some ratings by generating some controversy. And both candidates are only too glad to help out by, as you say, planting the seeds here.
And in the past week, it's, you know, things have been tougher for both candidates, and Bernie Sanders had some moments interviewed by major papers in New York, saying some saying he was not as clear as he could have been on foreign policy.
Right.
Is he going to be pressed on that tonight? Do you think maybe to be more specific?
Well, he will be pressed on this. The problem he has on attacking Hillary on foreign policy is he has become late to the game in developing a detailed foreign policy portfolio, and he's really not as knowledgeable on foreign policy. His candidacy is based on domestic policy. On the other hand, if he wants to make the case against Hillary, he's going to do so in part on her judgment on major foreign policy issues, you know, her original vote to attack to allow the president to attack Iraq, and more recently, you know, Libya, which President Obama has admitted has been a big mistake of his administration. So Sanders is caught in a little bit of a conundrum here. He sees an opening to attack her on foreign policy, but if he does so, he also leaves himself vulnerable to her counterattacking and demonstrating that she just has much more depth on this foreign policy issue. So it's a delicate dance for him, but I don't see much alternative. He's got to score some points and score big.
Do you think it's a good thing for Democrats overall that maybe the debate tonight will be a little sharper, a little more heated? Because until now, the Republican narrative has been the stronger one, the more interesting one for the media to follow. You've had the Donald Trump narrative and the establishment wringing its hands over what's going to happen. And the Democrats over there are not, in lots of cases, getting the same kind of coverage because the story just hasn't been as compelling.
Well, one indicator of that is turnout. Turnout is down from the last time the Democrats had a contested primary in 2008. Of course, that was an extraordinary year. But still, turnout is up among the Republicans. So you're absolutely right. The Republican race is because of the Donald, is generating much more interest, much more media coverage. But there's a downside. You know, with controversy comes the risk that your candidate's unfavorable ratings are going to go up. Now, Hillary Clinton, historically speaking, has very high unfavorable ratings among the general population. And the degree that Bernie Sanders continues to lob grenades at her, she's not going to come out of this unscathed. So for Democrats, the risk here is, yes, you generate media coverage and you sharpen the debate so that the distinctions can be brought out, but you may also begin to hurt your candidate looking ahead to the general election. And this is what the Clinton people in particular are worried about. They don't want to be dragged through the mud to such a degree that they're still cleaning themselves off when they have to face the Republican coming after Labor Day.
Now, one other issue that may come up tonight, speaking of dragging through the mud, I guess, or not, Hillary Clinton has released her federal tax returns from the past several years. Bernie Sanders has not. His wife does his taxes, apparently, and she said he will release this year's. What can we expect about that?
Well, it'll come up. I mean, you know, the Clintons, this is not going to be a surprise to them. They've made a lot of money on speaking. And, of course, this is already a point of attack that Sanders is going to use, and he's going to raise this again about her Wall Street connections, Goldman Sachs, how much money she got. At this point, all she can do is parry and return fire. She can't hide this. You can't say, hey, I'm actually a poor. You know, everybody knows she's earned these big speaking fees. And so you just take the incoming from the Sanders campaign and you try to move the conversation forward.
We're talking right now with political science professor Matt Dickinson, talking about the state of the Democratic race. Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton are taking the debate stage tonight.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. In the Democratic race for president, which candidate are you pulling for? What issues are most important to you? Are you hearing Sanders and Clinton adequately address them? If you're still undecided, could anything be said, say in tonight's debate, that would win you over? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing our conversation now about the state of the Democratic presidential race as Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders get set to debate once again this evening. Our guest is Matt Dickinson. He's a professor of political science at Middlebury College.
And you can join in with your questions and your comments at 800-642-1234. What do you make of the contest between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton so far? What are you expecting from tonight's debate? What do you want to see? And if you're a Democrat, who got your vote in Wisconsin's primary and why? You can call us at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And, you know, one of the big narratives, again, Matt, for the Republicans has been this sort of split between the establishment and the leading candidates, Donald Trump, in this point. Establishment also reported not to be super supportive of Ted Cruz either. Do you see something like that happening with the Democrats?
Well, there's a risk. I have students who are really intricately involved in the Sanders campaign. In fact, one of them started the College Students for Bernie chapters that have sprung up all over. And she tells me that the internal discussions among the students, who are a big part of his support, when you go to his rallies, you see tons of students here. And many of them are just resisting the idea that if he loses the nomination, that they're going to go out there and work on behalf of Hillary Clinton. And this is something the party has to worry about. They have to worry about healing the wounds after a very bitter, divisive primary, one that's becoming increasingly so, and probably will continue in that trend as we move closer to the end of the contests. But the reality is, once you get past this fight and your candidate has been selected, you then begin to reorient yourself, and despite the promises that I would never vote for that other candidate because she's the Antichrist, the reality is the Antichrist now becomes the person in the other party, Donald Trump, for instance. And it's going to be very difficult for Sanders people, no matter how much they dislike the idea of supporting Clinton, to actually say, I'm not going to vote and risk putting Donald Trump in the driver's seat for the general election. So I think time will heal most wounds, if not all wounds, within the Democratic Party. But Hillary is going to have to allow Sanders to make his claim to represent a certain important faction in the party. That's probably going to mean prime speaking position at the convention if things go the way they're going now, and perhaps even more, some concessions on policy and appointments. So there's some healing ahead of us. We're not there yet, and I don't want to jump the gun, but it's a significant concern for the party.
Let's go to our callers now. We have Alexandra on the line with us in Madison. Hi, Alexandra.
Hi. I have two comments. One, I voted for Sanders, and there are lots of reasons why I would vote for Sanders. I think that it's important to remember that there are a lot of independents in this race, and they're not going to be voting in the New York primary, but they count for a lot of the votes. And I think a lot of younger people may turn to being independents instead of continuing a respect for the DNC if they realize that this party doesn't represent them and if they don't want to follow a politics of fear. I also really hope that tonight in the debate they bring up climate change. I really want to see whether Hillary can have a stance that is not just pro-industry but actually mentions things like a carbon tax, which Sanders has talked about.
Great. Thanks so much, Alexandra. Some good points there. And she's talking about independence, maybe not necessarily, you know, pledging fealty to the DNC. Does that mean that the GOP, maybe Donald Trump, if he's the nominee, would get some of those votes, do you think, Matt?
Well, he is attracting support among independents, the same that Clinton is. Sanders. Both of them are positioning themselves as anti-establishment candidates, and as such, they're drawing a little bit on those independents, but different types of independents. Sanders is drawing much more on sort of the progressive, the Ralph Nader-type independents, Trump is drawing much more on people who are typically do not participate in politics, lower income, lower educated, predominantly white voters, who are now being drawn into the political process because of him. But the caller makes a couple of interesting observations that I talked to earlier, One is, you know, that tone that you hear among students in particular, that they'd rather vote for a third-party candidate as opposed to supporting Hillary Clinton, and they're threatening to bolt the party. You really have to take those statements in the context of being in the heat of a campaign, and I suspect most students will come back to the fold and support Hillary. Now, the fracking issue, that's one that's going to come up, fracking and climate change, and, of course, we all know the infamous exchange between Clinton on the receiving line and one of the environmental activists who basically asked her whether she's going to stop accepting money from the oil and gas lobby, and she reacted quite vehemently, that saying she's not getting direct contributions. You know, that is a point of contention between them. Bill McKibben's group, 350, has come out and endorsed Sanders. He has strong support among students, and that's a clear dividing line. I expect she's going to have an answer to that, but it's not going to appease all environmentalists.
Thanks for that, Kali Alexandra. And we're going to go next to Luke in Cross Plains. Luke, hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My answer is in response to the question you asked about what we wanted to see kind of with the debate tonight. I wanted to see two major things. One, Bernie Sanders focusing more on how his policies benefit minorities. I think he's avoided doing that because he doesn't want to alienate anybody, particularly, you know, his white voters and middle-class voters. But I think that may have hurt him in the long run with the black community and Latino voters. And on top of that, I also want to hear some questions from the moderators towards Hillary Clinton on some of her foreign policy choices that she's made, such as choices to, like, back the military coup in Honduras when there was... and, you know, recently there's been an assassination of one of the leaders there, and, you know, they're wanting to get back towards a democracy, but somehow Clinton has... deluded herself into thinking that her choice to keep the military in is better for democracy. I don't know.
Luke, thanks a lot for those points, and let's get you in on this, Matthew. Do you think that these are issues that are going to come up? Will Bernie Sanders talk about his policies and how they affect people of color in the country? And talking about Hillary Clinton's tenure as Secretary of State, is that going to be a strength, do you think, or a liability at this point?
Well, let's take the first issue first, the African-American community. Sanders is already conducting outreach in New York City. He realizes that he's got to broaden his appeal. This is not a typical, as I talked about earlier, state that he's been winning, even the primary in Wisconsin that he won. Wisconsin, larger white population proportionally than in New York. He has a problem, though. He has not been able to convince the non-white community that he understands their interests, even though he has roots dating back to the civil rights movement. Those concerned a different set of issues. The young blacks in particular are concerned about institutional racism, you know, treatment by police and so on. And the fact of the matter is Bernie comes from a state, a predominantly white state, Vermont. He hasn't had to deal with these issues. He doesn't speak the language, and despite making overtures, he just hasn't caught on among the black community, particularly older African-Americans who are solidly in Hillary's corner.
And Matt, just briefly about foreign policy as we get
sure.
a little short of time.
Okay. Foreign policy is, you know, that regime change issue is going to come up. That's going to be a strong point for Sanders tonight. He's going to push Hillary on judgment. He's going to try to tar her with some of these foreign policy outcomes that have been less than desirable. We talked earlier about Libya, and certainly that'll be a point of contention.
And so you think tonight stakes are high?
Hard to say how they can be any higher. I mean, this is the biggest delegate haul in a while. Both sides have a claim that this is their home state. It's really going to be definitive, I think, in either changing the narrative towards Sanders' favor or basically making the case that this is all but over and Clinton is well on her way to the nomination.
Matt, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate your time today.
My pleasure.
Matt Dickinson is a professor of political science at Middlebury College, and he joined us to preview tonight's Democratic debate in New York between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders.